It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 26, beginning to read with verse 40. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 is where we're going to begin. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone number would be 217-440-4402. If you would like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, you can email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine, and I hope that that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith to them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come together. Thank you for your precious word. I ask, Father, that as we search and study your word, that we have the teacher. And we know the teacher is your precious Holy Spirit. He will guide us through this study. But we need to know your Son, the Lord Jesus. We need to trust him as our personal Savior. He needs to come into our heart and save us, in order for each one of us to possess the Holy Spirit, because he does not come into our hearts until we look at our sin, recognize we're a sinner, and ask you to save us. Ask that your Son would come into our hearts and save us. And you send the Comforter at that time, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. The Comforter, Father, is present because the Comforter is coming. He shows us our sin and introduces us to Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. By faith alone, not by any works, not anything we can do, not baptism, not Lord's Supper. Nothing that we can accomplish can take away one single sin. And it's not necessary, Father, because your Son took them all away. But we must come by faith and say yes. So please, please, Father, today, just guide and lead us through this study now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, and we've been through the first time and talking about Peter here, how that he was one that was so emphatic that he was going to not deny the Lord Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And yet, he was asked to watch and to pray, and we find that he did neither. He had went to sleep. And then he went away a second time up here in verse 42 and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, as we look at this, and we went back to Luke because Luke was a very precious scripture verse, and I think it's probably worthy of going back there once again. And so, please, let's go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Luke 22, verse verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, as we look at that, we find in verse 44, of course, Dr. Luke, he makes reference to this great pain that the Lord Jesus was facing, such great agony, that it was to the point of bringing drops of blood as he sweat. Can't imagine that level, and we know that was very close to death. And so, and it says, "Let this cup pass." It was a cry for help that his father would come. His father sent angels to help. It was to see our Lord and our Savior with such great pressure that the sweat was mingled with blood. His blood was to be shed on the cross upon Calvary, and he cried out to God for help. And God heard him and answered and sent, as it is, angels. And if we would look at Mark, chapter 14, verse 33, and it says he came to a place at verse 32, which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now, that word there is actually affrighted or terrified. And so we have the same word was used in Mark 16:5 when Mary went to the tomb. What was the fear? The fear of Jesus was not the physical death on the cross. What this cup contained, Jesus knew that the purpose of his coming into this world was to die on the cross that sinners might be saved from hell. And anyone that is in such agony that blood was coming from your skin pores, you're close to death. And if Jesus would have had died in the garden, there would be no salvation. So as we look at that word, the same that was spoken up here of in Mark 14:33, and it's to see the, you know, he taketh Peter, James, John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. Again, yes, the Lord Jesus is God, is 100% completely God, but he's also completely human. And that devil was doing everything he could do to destroy him. Everything. And we see this as we look at these scripture verses here. The great pain that was placed upon him physically. Now, we've been through this, but I wanted to kind of come back with a little extra there that we just looked at. And then we're going to take a look at the battle once again, and it is review from last time, but the battle that went on because the devil could not let Jesus die on the cross. So it begins, the word must be fulfilled. God's word is true. And so he calls to take this cup from me. And again, it was not the cross. He must die on the cross. So it was to not die before. And the greatest battle ever waged was that night in the garden. You think of the worst was when he was hanging on the cross to take our sin away, the most pain and the most suffering. But the devil had to keep him off of the cross. So let's take just a quick look again at this conflict that we talked about between the devil and the seed of the woman. Starts in the Garden of Eden. We know how Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. Adam followed. And by Adam, then, the whole human race was plunged into sin. And then death by sin. Also at the same time, all creation was cursed. And we have in Genesis 3:15, the very first promise of the seed that was to come. That's the first gospel, if you've never seen that before. I've said it many times, but that's the very first gospel that was presented is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And for 4,000 years, Satan has moved under this fear that the seed would be victorious. And so he is doing everything he can possibly do to stop it, to bring it to an end. And so, as we said last time we were together, you know, it started with the birth of Cain and Abel. One brought the proper sacrifice, Abel, the blood sacrifice. Cain didn't. God was not pleased with that. Cain was angry. Cain rose up and killed his brother. Abel was the promised seed. He was faithful. The old devil thought he won. Cain slew Abel. Find that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Satan had thought that he had destroyed the seed that would bruise his head. That's what Genesis 3:15 tells us. But then there was a third child, another child born. It was Seth. That's in Genesis 4:25. And at this time, Satan set out to destroy and to literally corrupt every member of the human race. He knew the seed was there, but he thought if he could corrupt it. And so, as we look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, turn back here very quickly. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Listen to this. Listen to how successful the devil was. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. However, we move up to from Seth all the way to Enoch, the man who walked with God. You'll find that in Genesis 5:24. From Enoch, the line moved on through Methuselah to Lamech unto Noah. You can find that in Genesis 6:9. Genesis 6, 8, and 9, and then 7, 1. Isn't it something out of the whole human race at that time that there was only one righteous family out of the entire earth? That's how successful the devil was, and he thought, I can do it. I can do it. I can keep, I can stop, I can end this seed. And when you read that back in Genesis 6:5, even though Seth was born, he moved to destroy any witness or testimony, any presence of God that there was, to where that every thought, every imagination was evil. He thought, I've got it. And if you'll notice back there, you may have turned, but as we read back in that verse of Scripture, you'll find, let's get back here to Genesis 6:5, and let's look at Genesis 6:6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men, beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I bet the devil was so happy to hear those words. He thought, I have done it. I am successful. But then again, we come from Seth to Enoch, from Enoch to Noah, his one righteous family, Noah's family. Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. The devil is trying through total corruption to stop the seed of the woman, to stop him, that his head would not be bruised, because he knew the word, and he knew the only way that could be stopped to accomplish that. And then we come all the way up to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And we go from Shem to Nahor to Terah and now to Abram. You know, the Bible gives only two chapters, Genesis 10 and 11, covering from Noah to Abraham. But we see the seed clearly brought forward. Let's read what Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 has to tell us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to his seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We have come all the way from Cain and Abel, through Seth, down through Enoch, down through Noah. Now we've come to Abraham. We see God's plan is still in place, even though that devil has done everything he can do. The devil at that time then turned his attack upon Abraham. He was determined to corrupt the line, the seed. Remember Hagar and Ishmael? That was deception. Sarah was old, Abraham was old, had no children. Where's the seed? Where's the seed? I can stop it, or if I can corrupt it. So he got Abraham and Sarah both to agree, because it was common. If you had no children, then you took your handmaiden and you had a child by your handmaiden. That wasn't God's plan. Past age that no one can imagine. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. God brought that seed forward. We need to trust in him. We need to walk with him. Then back in Genesis 17, 19, you can see all these times that the devil thought he won. Genesis 17, verse 19. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant, the seed, with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Look at the promise of the word of God as it come forward. Isaac was born, the promised seed, God's plan. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. What a promise. So we go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and it continues. Then we come to David, son of Jesse. We're all the way up into 2 Samuel at this time. Chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. And oh my, did that devil try to destroy David. He did everything he could do to destroy David's life, destroy his testimony. To this point, I don't believe the devil hated anyone more than David, because it had progressed that far. And he knew the word. It was through the line of David. And so we're not going to take the time right now, but you can go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and see, read much of that all the way through to the 12th verse of chapter 22. Concerning, and then also 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 21, 2 Kings 20 verse 5 and 6. The devil tried so hard. We have David, then we have Solomon, and then we move forward and we get to Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah, and after Solomon, the kingdoms were divided. We have Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And from that time on, there was never a good king. The devil was very victorious, because there was never a good king in the northern kingdom. But God had a plan. God had a plan. The devil tried very hard to kill Hezekiah, made him very sick. And up until that time, other than David, Hezekiah was the best king of Judah. David, of course, and Solomon would be the king of all the land. But the divided land, Hezekiah would have been the best up until his son. And his son found to be even a greater king, a more godly king. And if you'll go through the line, because this seed is to never part, never to break. And at this time, we find that, think about this, Joseph if they would have continued to serve God as they should have. And this line, this kingly line, would have continued. It's very possible that Joseph, the earthly, the husband of Mary, would have been king. He is the line of the lineage of David. He could have very well been the king if they would have stayed true unto him. Now, a lot of things take place here. We've got Hezekiah. His reign started in 715 B.C. He's 13th king of Judah. But it wasn't long because the Assyrians came in. Their empire, their reign was from 722 to 609 B.C. Then after the Assyrians, we have the Babylonians. That was 609 to 539. And then we have the Persians. And then we have Greece. And then we have Rome. So you see, from the time of the Babylonian captivity, from that time on, the nation of Israel ceased from the year 588 B.C., which is in the middle of the, or the early part of the Babylonian Empire, 609 to 539. From 588 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar came down and took the last part of the nation of Israel, Judah, the southern kingdom, home, back to Babylon. At that time was 588. There ceased from that time never to be a king. Actually, the nation of Israel ceased to exist until May 14th, 1948. It's the only nation ever that ceased to exist, had no land, dispersed around all the world, and yet has come back together. That's because God's promise is there. Now, all that that's taken place, and we find that instead of Joseph being king of Israel, as he should have been, we find at that time that Rome is in control. Now, they're allowed to return back in 536. Ezra, Nehemiah, you can study that part. That's under the Medes and Persians. They were given a period of time. They could come back if they wanted. Not necessarily that they had to, but they could. And so some returned, some didn't, and they begin to rebuild the wall and rebuild the temple. However, they were always under, at that time, you know, from very shortly after that, we have again the Greeks. Greece was next, and then Rome came into power about 332 B.C. And so that brings us all the way up to the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. And so looking at all that together, I wanted to show you everything that that devil tried to do to never let the Lord Jesus get to the cross. Never, ever was he to get to the cross. And so when we come back here to Matthew now, and we have read of the drops of blood from sweat, and Jesus comes back again and finds them asleep again, and then he left them a third time in verse 45 and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. You see, that devil from the very start, he has tried to never let the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, get to the cross. And that battle was coming to a head when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can just keep him from being there. My dear friend, Jesus is victorious. He went to the cross. He took our sins away. Please come by faith to him and be saved. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?